chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. I'm reading from the Common English Bible. If you'd like to follow, Pew Bibles, page 735. As Jesus walked alongside the Galilee Sea, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, throwing fishing nets into the sea because they were fishermen. "Come follow me," he said, "and I'll show you how to fish for people." Right away, they left their nets and followed him. Continuing on, he saw another set of brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with Zebedee, their father, repairing their nets. Jesus called to them, and immediately they left the boat and their follow and followed him.
Once upon a pew, I sat and I heard the preacher ask, "We need someone to lead the songs. Now who will take the task?" Then God sat down beside me there and said, "Son, that's for you." "But Lord," said I, "to sing before a crowd is one thing I cannot do. Now Brother King will do the job. There's nothing he won't do. I'd rather hear the music played from here upon my pew." Once upon a pew I sat and I heard the preacher ask, "I need someone to keep the door. Now who will take this task?" Then God sat down beside there and said, "Son, that's for you." But to me, they said, "Hey, oh, associate pastor, you know how to build a room. Why don't you build an office?" And all I could think was, "Oh, I don't want no part of that." Not because I can't build an office, not because I don't know how to utilize tools and how to build and put things together. It's, "Oh, really? I'm going to have to deal with church people. Oh, that's the color you painted it? Oh, yeah, because you chose institutional white before I got here. Oh, did it really have to be made out of wood? Well, yeah, I'm a carpenter, not an iron worker. That's what we're going to have. Oh, really? You decided to put it in that spot? Yeah, because that's where you told me it needed to go." Those kind of things. Same thing happens with piano players, accompanists. "Can you play this?" "Yeah." "Can you lead the choir?" "Oh, yeah." "Yeah." "We don't want to." "Oh, yeah, we have to." It's those type of jobs. "Oh, we need someone to be a liturgist." "Oh, preacher, you're not going to use the big words, are you?" "I didn't write the book. It just happened to come out that way." "Oh, I need someone to usher." "Oh, I don't want to be the one to pass the collection plate." "Oh, really?" I was in charge of ushers once upon a time in my career, and I made the mistake of thinking it would be funny to tell the youth that were doing the offering that Sunday that whenever the plate was passed to them, if it didn't look like the people put in enough, go and hand it back. Till the boy did it. And then I felt kind of bad because the guy that was sitting there, he really felt bad because he's like, "Okay." Those kind of things happen. Church is a funny place. It's a very funny place. We're all called to do a job here, right? We've all been called into this ministry known as Christianity. We have one pastor. His name's Jesus. The rest of us are just workers. We're employees. We're people who are called in. Earlier, I gave you what is known as a sermon tease. And I want to share something with you. Today's scripture came from Matthew, folks. If you only read the Gospel of Matthew, you would live in the Sunday school idea of how the disciples came about. But I want to share this with you that's later found in John. And it's John chapter 1, 35 to 42. And it says, "The next day, John was standing again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus walking along, he said, 'Look, Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard what he said, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and he saw them following, he asked, "What are you looking for?" They said, "Rabbi," which translated to teacher, "where are you staying?" He replied, "Come and see." So they went and they saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two disciples who heard what John said, followed Jesus, was Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated to Christ. He led him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John." Think about that. Jesus met the disciples before he ever asked them to follow him. He met them first. And then he went away. And when he left them, what did he do? He prayed over them. He prayed about his choices of who he would select. Then later on, we see where Jesus comes along and finds Andrew, Simon, James, and John. And he tells them, "Leave your nets. Don't need that tangled up mess where we're going. We're going somewhere else." They had knew who he was, and they stopped everything and they followed him. In our lives, folks, we've been introduced to Christ. Every one of us in this room have been introduced to Christ at some point in our life. Now, what has happened in that time is Jesus has prayed over you. We find out throughout scriptures where it says Jesus intercedes for us to the Father. Interceding for us through the Father means he's praying to the Father for us. He's praying over us. And we never realize that Jesus is praying for us. He's praying for us to be in his service, in his church, be active in his employ, to be part of that widget that's called the church. Everybody's called to do a job. Nobody, and I'll be honest with you, nobody looks forward to standing up here at the lectern and reading great big impossible names because they makes you look bad. Nobody wants to play the piano and look over at the choir and say, "You know, some of y'all can't sing." Not that there's anything with our choir's good. But I have been blessed to be able to sit in front of several church choirs and go, "Wow, somebody's skinning a cat back there." But it happens. And then the congregation will sit there because they're so happy that they're not part of the choir and go, "Oh, they're good. Oh, they're good. Good, good, good." Nobody wants to have the task of standing there being the person that counts the money each week. Nobody wants the task of being the person that says, "Wow, our electric bill last month was $1,000. Turn the heat down. Wear a coat if you're cold." No one wants that job. But it's a job that's got to happen. Nobody wants to receive a phone call at 4 o'clock in the morning like I did today and say, "What time's church?" Now, I'm safe to say that I answered it nicely. "Men's breakfast is at 7 o'clock. Sunday school's at 9. Worship's at 10:30. Hope you can make it." And they hung up. It's like, really? I'm glad church was that important to you to call at 4 o'clock in the morning. We have a website. It tells you. No one wants those kind of phone calls, but it's part of the job. It's part of the job that we all have been called to do. A job that's so tough that nobody else really wants it, because if you notice, churches are in decline. Has anybody noticed that besides me? I read a huge article the other day that was put out by one of the largest seminaries in the nation. And it said that the megachurch mentality is dying for smaller churches so they look fuller. Build small to look full. We should be building big and expecting bigger. Not building small and hoping for full. Jesus prayed over everybody in this world and continues to pray over us daily. He's called us into service. Now, a lot of us don't know what our job is yet. A lot of us are just called to occupy the seats right now. And at some point in life, you're going to be called for that job. Are you going to answer the job? Are you going to answer the call? Are you going to answer the opportunity to come out there and be part of it, even though you might have to read words you don't want to read? Sing songs you don't want to sing. Read scriptures that you don't want to really hear where you failed in life. God calls us to be part of all of that. Why is it when we have an opportunity to learn more about Christ, we find more opportunity to put in place other than Christ? Recently at our Bible study, we were sitting here and we were talking and the question was asked, how come there's only 7 people at the Bible study? And I had to be honest and say, we have an attendance of 77 average at our church, so 10% of that's 7. What's everybody else doing? Now, being a pastor, I like to think everybody else is sitting home and they're studying the Word themselves. But being a realist, I know that they're sitting at home watching TV. They're doing other things. They're more occupied than being occupied. The Word of God is alive and well. This past week, my friend Darnell here, him and I had an opportunity to sit, and we had a chance to really talk about the Word and how we've got to live inside the Word and be part of the Word because we've been called to serve the Word being Jesus. And if we don't serve the Word, we occupy the Word. We have to realize as a people, when Jesus called us, He called us because we're the elite of the elite. He chose those 12 because those 12 that He called were the best of the best. They were common, everyday people. They were working people. They were cutthroat people. Many of them were zealots. It's a nifty word in your Bible. Find it. Look it up. Google it. The disciples are not the Sunday school guys that we studied about. They are guys that will look at a person and call them a sinner and let them know that they're a sinner. They are also an employee who is willing to take the ridicule, take the abuse, and do every job that Jesus asked them. Because as they traveled along the way, Jesus gave them harder and harder and harder tasks. And the final task He gave them, they failed miserably. You guys stay here. I want you to pray. I'm going up here. You're going to pray. He walked away. He prayed. He came back and they failed. They were asleep. You guys, it's not hard. I want you to pray. Just pray. That's the job you've been called to do. Pray. I'll be back. He came back. They were asleep again. Has Jesus called you to pray? Has Jesus called you to pray? Have you been asleep? Have you failed miserably at your job? as everybody looks at my wife, because she's mentioned earlier that she sleeps through most of my sermons. At least Dave Gere was respectful enough to sleep in the back pew. She sleeps up in front. Honest and truly, when you're called to pray, do you pray? When you hear the prayer concerns that come out of this church, is it to pick up on the gossip of what's happening in someone's life, or to be heartfelt and concerned enough to fall to your knees and lift up the prayer? There's a job to be done. It's not an easy job. It's a low-paying job. It's a heartbreaking job. But when it's over, you will receive your reward. You will be blessed beyond abundance. You've got to work to collect the pay. Pretty simple. Please stand and join us in our closing song. There's one thing I want to do this morning. Kind of touched me here just the last 30 seconds or so. Everybody merge toward the move to the middle. Now just reach out and grab a hand of somebody beside you.
Okay.
Jumping in here.
Please, Adrian. Well done. Okay.
Now I want you to look to the person on your left and say, I am here for you. I'm glad you're only a counselor. Now I want you to look to the person on your right and say, I am here for you.
I am here for you.
If you would, join me in prayer. Gracious God, as we've gathered in your house today, Lord, let us realize that the person on our left, the person on our right, are our friends, our family, our co-workers, Lord. Allow this person that's standing beside us today to be the person to help us up when we fall. Help us as we take that stride in faith. Lord, I ask you to be with us today. As we leave today, I ask you to be with all of those that'll be living outside in the elements tonight, Lord. Watch over them. Protect them as you always do. In your Son's holy and precious name, I pray today, Lord. Amen.
Amen.